Hello, and welcome to episode 4, season 3 of Doc Talk. Happy Tax Day! Spring has sprung, taxes are due, and the administration is going full force. With me today is my best friend, Captain Jeff Monroe, with the International Association of Maritime Port Executives. Hello, Captain.
How are you, Amy? Every time you say that, you warm the cockles of my heart, for which I much appreciate it. So I'm Captain Jeff Monroe. I'm Director of Education Standards for the IAMPE. And as you all know, we do executive management for ports and maritime, and we pay very particular attention to what's going on in the industry. And we've certainly been paying a great deal of attention to what's going on in the administration. So we have a nominee for the Maritime Administrator, and it's Brent Sadler. He's a former U.S. Navy submariner, a captain in the Navy, works as an analyst right now, and he has been nominated for the Maritime Administrator. And perhaps by the time this is broadcast, he may have been approved, right? And he succeeds Ann Phillips, who is also ex-Navy. And I am always a bit wondering why it is that we put Navy personnel in charge of the Maritime Administration, which operates and manages and promotes the United States Merchant Marine. As you know, MARAD is the only non-regulatory government agency we have. They take care of the maritime schools, you know, staffing to make sure that we have enough merchant mariners. They also take care of our ready reserve fleet, and that's staffing for that. They collect a lot of data. They promote the merchant marine. And the bottom line here is that we have seen very little happen in the maritime industry. We are sort of the appendage here of what goes on within DOT. And my hope was that we would see an industry person in there, and not to detract from Sadler at all, but my hopes was that we would see an industry person in there who at least was well understood what was going on in the industry and could address the many issues. And I've got a whole list of them, and I'm sure you do too, Amy. And being that the gentleman I am, I'm going to say ladies first. And if we could bring to the attention of the new administrator those things that we have concern both on the coastal and the inland side, let's start with the inland side, because in many ways, the inland side is the one that's neglected the most in all of this.
It sure is. So I would love for our producer to consider titling this episode, Dear Administrator Sadler. What would we tell the administrator if we had his attention? It would be this for me, for the inland focus. Dear Administrator Sadler, you've got all the room in the world to make really great positive change. Many administrations before him have done just that. And some of the former admirals that did come in had little knowledge of the inland river freight transportation, but they were willing to admit that. They were willing to admit that they did not know probably everything they needed to know, but they were willing to learn. So, Administrator Sadler, I invite you to learn just a little bit more about the inland freight transportation, the inland river freight transportation. So kindly, on behalf of all of my members, I would say number one, Dear Administrator Sadler, I would love for you to understand the value of private terminals in our nation. If we look at the three main buckets of priorities that maybe you have within that administration, we say number one is freight, number two is sea lift, number three is merchant marine. But let's start with that first one, freight, the movement of freight, incorporating the marine highways into the freight supply chain around the United States is critical. So let's look at the inland, the value of the private terminals. Public ports matter, and there are members, and we love them. But private terminals matter too. We have 335 public ports around the nation, and we have tens of thousands of private terminals, those that are moving the cargo across their docks, transloading from one mode to the other. They matter in the terms of the movement of freight and how that freight intersects with our community. So that brings me to number two. Dear Administrator Sadler, as a naval analyst, with your experience, you have to understand, you already understand the value of data. Within the Department of Transportation, you have one data source available to you. It's the Bureau of Transportation Statistics. Yet, unfortunately, that data system is so out of date, irrelevant to maritime transportation. It needs to be fixed. And we are just begging you, dear Administrator Sadler, fix the BTS data so that maritime freight is captured. Currently, Freight Analysis Framework only captures transfers anew. If that cargo and the movement of that freight cargo has multiple modes, it's only going to count that first and last mile delivery. What we do matters to the communities that we serve. So, dear Administrator Sadler, please fix BTS for the incorporation of maritime freight. And then finally, I'll be quiet so I can let my best friend talk. We as an industry in freight need the ability to rapidly respond to changing markets. When something happens up in Canada and we purchase those goods and we store them in the United States, we don't have the chance to say, "Dear Canada, we'll take it, we'll store it, we'll move it, but give us 7 years. Hold on just a minute. Give us 7 years and we'll be right with you." No. Establish programs that would allow us to rapidly respond to this changing market. We have to have the ability to rapidly respond. So, what does that look like? It looks like permit reform. It looks like diminishing the lifespan of how to go from inception to completion on a project, on an infrastructure project. But it also means, dear administrator, that we need you to set aside discretionary funding every year for instances just as this. We have to have the ability to rapidly respond. If you don't spend all your discretionary funding, roll it back into next year, put it into another program, but set aside funds that would allow us to respond. That's what I have, dear Administrator Sadler.
You're so sweet.
You go. Your
My
turn.
turn. All right. Well, Administrator, just to kind of put things in perspective, Amy, how many members do you have in Inland Rivers?
Just about 500.
You have 500. We have over 3,000 alumni in the IAMPE, so we do represent a fair amount of what goes on in the industry. In addition to that, we have 26 educational partners, 7 academic partners. We also have 6 key industry partners. So we really reach out to everybody. So we're hoping that they're going to listen, and we're going to encourage all of our members on both sides here to get in touch with you and to send letters to you to help you understand quickly as possible, you know, the things that are so important to us. You are going to be the prime advisor to the Secretary of Transportation, who is going to be the prime advisor to the President. And I'm assuming that somewhere across the line, the administration will listen and really put a value on where the port maritime industry really lies. So let me give you my issues. All right, or I should say issues that really affect all of us in the industry. First of all, is port funding. All right, I recognize that we're in a kick right now to cut back on government spending, which is, you know, I certainly embrace, no question about that. I'm a taxpayer. Just like everybody else. And the bottom line here is that that makes a great deal of sense. But the infrastructure funding, which came out in the last administration and in prior administrations, are very critical to the aspect of our efficiencies. And so we hope that that's not going to dry up. We hope that that is going to move forward because, you know, if we can invest in other parts of the world, we can invest in our own infrastructure. And I know there's a lot of demand in transportation on bridges and roadways and railways and stuff, but you can't stop at roadways, runways, and railways. We have to also include all of our waterways in the mix of that. And if we're going to make our operations efficient, we need that port funding to continue. Something I've been harping on for the longest time, and I always point out that Harry Truman was the last president to have a comprehensive transportation plan nationwide in place that over many administrations, both Republican and Democrat, We have not had a good comprehensive plan that really embraces and takes into account the importance of not only the inland rivers, but also the coastal port facilities and stuff. And so a comprehensive transportation plan is well in order. Harbor maintenance tax. We recognize that that's an important thing to fund dredging and everything. But the bottom line is that if we're going to see an expansion of Marine Highway, which is a critical factor for us here, because they're a tied project with that, we need to eliminate the harbor maintenance tax on multiple vessel calls. In fact, I would even go so far to say that if you put cargo onto the Marine Highway network, it would be exempt from harbor maintenance tax altogether. We have a mariner shortage. And Kings Point and the maritime colleges and maritime academies are all working hard, but underutilized because we're seeing a big shortage. And it's not only the United States, it's worldwide. And I think in the long run that we do very little to promote the maritime colleges, not only on the coastal side, but also on the inland side and up on the Great Lakes. We do very little to promote that and encourage people to come to go to register at maritime schools. I've had a long, wonderful career in the maritime industry, from going to sea to running ports, you know, and now doing the education programs. And quite frankly, you know, we had years ago, we had SIP and we had other things. But I think in the course of all of that, we need to think about things such as scholarships at the state schools, you know, something similar to what goes on at Kings Point. And Kings Point, I understand, needs some infrastructure improvements. And I think that's important. But I think one of the most important things I would encourage, and we tried to get this through Congress several years ago, was the revamping and recreation of the U.S. Maritime Service. You know, there are a lot of folks who are getting to the near the end of their useful life as, you know, with licenses and stuff, you know, or unlicensed personnel. I won't say useless, but they're getting to that point. But the thing is that if we do have a national emergency, we are understaffed. All right. And quite frankly, you know, we had guys during Operation Desert Storm who were 70 years old, you know, going to sea, you know, try to keeping engine rooms going and everything like that. And quite frankly, something has to be done to address that. The maritime service would be a great way to do it. Every cadet who comes out of the schools would go into the maritime service, would track them in their careers. Right. And then for those of us who will kind of get toward retirement, everything could be members of the maritime service as well. And in essence, we could always be called upon in case of a national emergency. If we're shoreside or if we're sailing, really doesn't make any difference because there's a great talent pool of people out there that has to continue to be utilized. The next thing is the Jones Act. All right. And I recognize there's always a big concentration on the coastal side of it, American flag shipping. But a lot of people don't recognize the inland rivers are the largest component of the Jones Act. And the thing is that even they have worker shortages out there. And so something that focuses very heavily on trying to protect our maritime trade is critical. Every other maritime nation in the world does it, right? And for all these people who sit there and say, well, let's get rid of the Jones Act because it'll save shippers money. It's not going to save shippers any money at all right? Because our seafarers are not extraordinarily paid compared with other folks and stuff. And I recognize this goes on. Yeah, you can put a third world or a fourth world crew aboard a ship and they're a lot cheaper, right? But what about the safety and what about the security? So I think that's always a very important thing. The fees that are being proposed on Asian-built vessels, where did that come from? All right. And honestly, it doesn't make sense, right? Because ships, you know, get component parts from all over. How are you going to measure that? So much of a percentage, or if it's built in a Chinese yard or anything, you know, the bottom line is, you know, there are more important things to focus on. I'd love to see shipbuilding, as the president announced in the State of the Union. I'd love to see shipbuilding expand, except for one minor problem. Where? We don't have the land available. We have given up a lot of our industrial spaces, particularly in suburban areas. The bottom line here is that there are very few places where you can put a modern shipyard. And not to mention the fact that in the United States, you know, we really have lost a great deal of our skills in regards to how to build commercial ships effectively. Why can South Korea do it? Why can China do it? because it's not just a matter of inexpensive labor, it's also a matter of how they're managed, right? They have very effective systems and very effective tools. We've gotten more tuned into doing things in a military manner. And as a former military guy, you certainly understand the complexities of trying to get a Navy ship either repaired or built in the United States. Well, commercial shipbuilding doesn't operate that way. You need to find locations, you need to find skilled talent who can come in and do it. You need to have good management. And the bottom line here, it's going to be many years before something like this begins, but it's got to start evolving now. And I think that's important. I know, Amy, you will attest to this as well, as you did earlier. We have not fixed the supply chain issues in the United States. The only reason they're not in people's attention right now is because the volumes have dropped off. All right. So it seems like it was fixed. No, it isn't. Right. We still have issues with warehousing congestion, with truck traffic. We have a number of truck drivers and personnel available. That's a big major issue. Right. So it hasn't been fixed. And if things bounce back, right, and we have a strong economy right now, and who knows what the impact of tariffs and everything else ultimately are going to be, except a little bit more expensive for all of us, you know, at the retail level. But the bottom line here is that in the course of all of this, this has to be addressed. All right. Somewhere along the line, we have to look at the supply chain from the inland side to the coastal side and every component in between. Trucking, rail, air, all of it has to be looked at cohesively. It's part of that national strategy that I mentioned earlier, which is a critical factor. There are two other things that I think that we need to pay attention to. One of them is the control by a smaller number of terminal operators, most of them Chinese, right, who are taking control of port facilities all over the world. The DOD is aware of it, right? And it needs to be something that has to be taken look at in the commercial shipping industry. I mean, you know, we invented containerization, right? And everybody does it better than us, right? And facilities worldwide are better than us. But if you look at all the facilities that are out there, you begin to recognize, yeah, they're Chinese controlled controlled by nations that are not friendly to the United States. And this has to be paid attention to in the course of this and how we make that work. And finally, I think the big issue is alternative fuels. We know we're a large gas export and crude oil exporter, and that's great. We should be, all right? And we certainly are bringing in as much oil as we're exporting. But in the course of all of that, our refineries need to be modernized. The regulatory complexities need to be eliminated. And we need to know what fuels we're going to operate on and what makes the most sense, right? And that includes right down to ground equipment. You know, electricity works great in the south for electric controlled equipment, but it doesn't work too well in the north. And these things, somewhere along the line, that leadership has to come out of MARAD to help the ports understand that. So those are my few minor issues.
Okay, so I have some thoughts there. Number one, dear administrator, maybe not focus on alternate fuels, but rather additional fuels, right? We're not trying to replace those fuel sources, but we need to add to our fuel sources, right? So, number two, 2A, surround yourself with your people, right? You need those military, those sealift, those merchant mariners in your office. Surround yourself. You need inland professionals in your office, those that understand the industry, meaning you need inland and you need industry. You need inland industry people that you rely on to share their perspective with you and openly and honestly. Rely on your gateway directors. Those are your boots on the ground. They are here in St. Louis. They are in Paducah. They are traveling their AORs every week. Lean on them so that they can help you understand what our issues and challenges are inland and in this industry. Again, surround yourself. For my members, I always tell them, know who to call before you need to call them. And a lot of times that's in the case of before a natural disaster happens or a spill happens. Know who your emergency contacts are before you need them. That's why, you know, when we first started kindergarten, they said, you know, let's learn 911. It's knowing who to call before you need them. Same goes for you, dear administrator. Know who you need to call before you have an emergency. We see hurricane disasters, we see flooding. Surround yourself with the advisors that you need. Identify those trusted advisors that know number one, freight, number two, law, number three, coastal, number four, inland. Surround yourself and identify who your leaders are to advise you in terms in times of disaster. And finally, and I'll probably have more after Captain Monroe goes again, we invite
You
you
always
to
get
be
the
a,
last word, Amy.
and, we invite you to be a part of Doc Talk. Your predecessor, Administrator Ann Phillips, did join us as a guest on our podcast. We got to hear from her personally what her priorities were for the administration. We invite you to come and address your constituents all around the world, what your priorities are in freight, how you will dissect each one of these sectors, how you're going to become one with our industry, because we need you now that you are in.
Okay, well, the one thing I want to say is MARAD has done a marvelous job with many things, all right? And let's not underestimate that. But its significance needs to be heightened. The fact of the matter is that, many people look at it as a small agency, and yet it is the spokesman for our industry. It is the people, you are the people who speak for us and move forward. The development of the multipurpose ships that are now used for training vessels. Exercise them, put them out there, let them work, and let them you run them in drills and stuff like that, and develop spare parts for these ships. They're all the same ship, all right? So develop a cadre of spare parts, right? And I recognize that costs money, but make sure they have the spare parts so that when a vessel breaks down, it can immediately be repaired and fixed, right? I'm sure the captains on the training ships will tell you that. So I think in the long run, you are in a unique position. All right. Right now, the executive branch and Congress are all controlled by the same party. You've been appointed by the same party, right? And the bottom line is that elevate the significance of the Maritime Administration to where it was. I mean, you look at the whole aspect of the United States Merchant Marine for just one element, right? 40 years to get recognition of the seafarers who died in the Second World War, right? And of course, most of them are dead now, right? Moving forward. Let us all know that you're going to lead the charge, that you're going to be out in front, and that you're going to look at the elements that are so important to all of us. And we would love to have you on Doc Talk. And you know what? We would love to sit in your office some afternoon and have a nice chat with you, a nice long chat, because there are many issues. And we receive feedback from Amy does from her members. We receive feedback from our alumni worldwide. And the fact of the matter is that, we're partners with all of you, right? We're partners with the administration. And the thing is, what can we do to make it better for all of us together? That's what we're focused on.
I think that's just the excellent ending to this. I feel like extremely valuable doc talk, dear administrator, is just that. Lean on us. We are here for you because we are in this together. We are a part of the maritime community together. And so whatever we can do for you, please call on us.
Sounds good to me. Well, Amy, thank you very much as always. And we do these on a fairly regular basis. We have several maritime executive programs coming up, and we're hoping someday that these programs will be blessed by MARAD as they have blessed the curriculums for seafarers and stuff. And but we have several courses coming up this year, which we're looking forward to. In Baltimore and also in New York, and inland programs and LA Long Beach and everything. And you have, when's your annual convention, Amy?
Oh, so annual conference is in Milwaukee, September 30 through October 2. But here we do sit on April 15th on Tax Day. I want to invite everyone to come out to the IRPT Ohio River Basin meeting in Pittsburgh. You can always email our producer to get more information, but that very next day, we're having a We Work the Waterways Industry Interaction Day for the local high schools to introduce them to the maritime industry, to let them know we want you and we need you in our industry. And then on May 1st, we will have an Upper Mississippi River Basin meeting in St. Paul, Minnesota. And then that following week, we have a Arkansas White Red Ouachita Rivers Basin meeting on May 6th in Tulsa, Oklahoma, followed by We Work the Waterways Industry Interaction Day for the local high schoolers in Tulsa on Wednesday, May 7th. So come out and see us, meet us, email our producer for more information.
I think that would be wonderful. And all of that information is available on our website. We'll have your people contact our people. We can go from there. Anyway, thank you very much, everybody, for joining us today on the program. And we look forward to getting some feedback, too, from our new administrator. We wish you the very best of luck with all of this in a complicated time, to say the least. But I'm sure things will work out well in the long run. I think the worst thing that can happen is status quo. Time to move forward. Time to move up.
So, on and up. On and up.
Amy, thank you very much for your time today, as always, and we'll look forward to our next Doc Talk episode.
Till then, thank you, sir.